Welcome to this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact, where we've got an amazing guest that I've gotten to know over the past 5 years, Teresa Flood. She is the leader for a over 600 person brokerage in Dallas Preston Road. And I think the one piece, so I've got a little bit more of a critical thinking, black hat type of personality. And when you look at leadership, I believe that belief is transferable. And one of the things that I see in other leaders that when I don't have something, it's really like, it's really magnifying of how other people have success. And the beauty of being able to get to know Teresa over the past couple of years is this optimism, no matter what comes across. Now, Teresa's got some sarcasm that's absolutely funny. When she throws a dagger, she throws a dagger. So don't get it twisted on that smile. But my point being is that the optimism is really what radiates from Teresa. And I do believe it's an X factor and a reason for a lot of her success inside of running that massive brokerage in Dallas. So Teresa, I'd love for you to just kind of like, what's your story? And then really go dive into this, you know, for all, everybody tuning in about how you've used your optimism to really inspire growth and those people around you as far as a leader goes. So, you know, what's your story?
Well, thank you for having me on, number one. And you are actually wearing a black hat. So I thought that was just really a great, you know, visualization here. I don't have my unicorns and rainbows behind me, but if you want to, you know, throw that on the screen, you know, we could have it real literal. But anyway, thank you for having me on. Just excited and have so much respect for your leadership and what you have built and accomplished. So my story is, so my husband, Tommy, who's also in the real estate world at Keller Williams, we got married when I was 19 years old, so we're celebrating 25-year anniversary, and I married into a real estate family. Yes, that's also my optimism, right? As I know he's going to keep learning and keep growing. I'm totally optimistic there.
And you're smiling while saying it.
I know. No, I have an amazing husband. I kid. But I married into a real estate family, so that's how I got into real estate. My mother-in-law owned a Remax brokerage. My father-in-law was in the mortgage business, and so that was kind of how I parlayed into real estate. Worked with my father-in-law for a little while on the mortgage side, moved into home warranty sales, which, again, you have to have a great deal of tenacity when your main job is to keep people happy with vendors that don't always do their job. Or back when I did it, I think home warranties have really, really improved over the years. But when I did it, it was a massive load of customer service and problem solving and helping somebody get through sometimes a challenging situation on that. But that's how I cut my teeth on sales and customer service. I learned a lot of grit in that role, and then got my real estate license in 2006. Moved into the leadership side at Keller Williams in 2013. But it's really been an incredible journey. You know, and it's interesting because Tommy and I have a youth ministry background. And if we're talking optimism and positivity, I have to say that definitely for me personally, my faith is the underlying groundwork of all of that, because that is what keeps perspective for me. When everything gets nuts and crazy, when I'm thinking beyond just a current or it's just about me, when it becomes about something bigger, faith is absolutely, to me, that kind of grounding. And it always has been for how I view the world, how I view my future, how I view other people. All of that really is a huge piece of it. But my growth at Keller Williams, I think there has been a new understanding just of accountability. And I think that for me, when we live in an accountable place, that is really what enables us to focus on the things that we can control versus the things that we can't control. So that, I think, has been such a journey in my last really 10 years of understanding just the difference between, because I think really when we get negative. Now, and I wanted to say the difference, because I'm going to defend you a little bit, Joe Martin.
Don't let him off that easy.
No, but this is important, because I think sometimes people view skepticism or being a realist or looking at facts as negativity. And I actually don't believe that. I think that you can be very real about a situation that is not good or not positive, and yet still be a positive person because of what you take out of that. So I don't believe that positivity means that we call things that are bad good. Well, I think that can be an enormous mistake. I think it's that we can look at it and go, I can see how I can make good out of this, or I can become better because of this, or I can find opportunity in this. So actually that questioning, skepticism, black hat, if you will, I think is hugely important, especially in business, because if nobody's asking the questions about what could be a pitfall or what could go wrong, we can be in a really bad spot. So I would just like to say, I don't know necessarily that skepticism means negativity. So you can.
I get it.
I was going to look at and ask you, like, hey, how do you differentiate between authentic positivism, positivity, and forced optimism? I just made my own word. Authorism. But you kind of took care of that very eloquently for Joe, because I appreciate it. But I think that there is a real challenge for a lot of times for people to stay authentic and positive and real, right? Because there is a false narrative that gets told, or we tell ourselves that, like, hey, I have to show up a certain way, right? But it's too easy to see through that, right? So I think the realistic nature that Joe was referencing for himself, there's passion in realism and authenticism, but it's so much more about that when it comes to the presentation in what you're delivering.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's what you choose to focus on in that, right? Yeah. So are we going to focus on, we're going to look at maybe a situation that is not good, not positive, maybe harm is coming out of it. And there's a lot of bad things that happen in this world that are definitely not positive. And I think it's wrong to call those things positive. And how do we look in that situation and find where we can go? What is the vision for the future? What is our growth opportunity? How do we overcome this? And when we focus on those things, I think that's where the authenticity comes. So, I mean, I am a flawed human being. To be authentic, I don't have to tell anybody my flaws. They're very aware of them. You know, I think sometimes we try to be fake. We're not fooling anybody. People know all of that. And so I think it's being authentic when we struggle, but being authentically somebody who's committed to going past it, and being authentically somebody who's committed to being accountable for the outcome, and authentically committed to our own personal growth. That's the beautiful part about authenticity, is we don't actually have to have it all together. But when we are somebody that's learning-based and growth-oriented and committed to doing the right thing, then we can be also authentic in that journey.
How do you decide how authentic you want to be? Because I think there's a time where we have to think through our rawness and our realism when we're making a presentation or having a conversation, right? But there's a line, right, where you can tell either, A, I'm either going to go for it, or I need to hold myself back a little bit about what I say. Where does that live in how you express yourself?
That's a great question. I think I'm naturally more of a filtered person, meaning I'm a little bit more calculated about what I share or what I say naturally. So sometimes I actually have to push myself to be more open, right? As opposed to some people could be the other side of the spectrum. Neither are good or bad, right or wrong.
Yeah.
But I think as a leader, you're always looking and being intentional about your people. Is my sharing this going to help somebody else because they can identify, they can relate, they can be empowered by this? Or am I sharing this to get something off my chest, or to make myself appear a certain way, or to give excuses in front of my team, right? So is my sharing and my vulnerability and my authenticity for the good of somebody else? And I think when it is, and it becomes intentional in that way, that's where it becomes incredibly powerful.
You know, I think there's, when you think about the audience or who's in the room, right? Yeah. There's sometimes when we tell stories and we bring the passion, right? But is the passion appropriate to the narrative? Or is it validation to ourselves about what we're trying to convince the audience of?
Yeah. I think that's an interesting point, because again, it has to be, nobody wants fake cheerleading.
Right.
And I don't think positivity could be fake cheerleading. But when you really believe in where you're headed as a leader, or where your organization is headed, and you do buy in and believe in that, then it's more than just cheerleading, right? It is vision, because you're seeing, vision is about seeing what's not there and then going and figuring out, how do I create that in my team or my company or my business, in the people that I'm leading. And so I don't think anybody is looking to create a negative vision of the future.
The future is tricky, right? The future is tricky. And when we're talking about things like that, when we're trying to maintain positivity and real, I mean, we could keep interchanging them, but then where does vulnerability come in play? Right? Because you have to allow for that. So like, how do you differentiate between the two?
So differentiate between authenticity.
Authentic about the future, if we're talking about, and being vulnerable about it at the same time.
Because I think it's okay to say the facts of what's real and what's, everybody again knows that. So to disregard, for instance, you know, in real estate, dealing with the NAR settlement, right? There was a lot of challenges and there was fear about the future and there was disagreement with things. There was a lot of non-positive feelings for a lot of people around that, and some unknown about what the future entailed. So I believe it's okay to say those things and to be head on and to be real about them. And are we going to be somebody who says, I'm not a victim to my situation. I'm not a victim to what happens around me. I'm not a victim to the market. I'm not a victim to what anybody else does. I'm an accountable person who's going to say, in all this, I get to own my perspective. I get to own my mindset. I get to own my energy. I get to own my activities. All of those things are what I get to control, regardless of negativity around me or what may be happening in our space. So I think that is it is okay to be real about the struggle. I don't actually think that you can be positive about the future if you're not real about where you're at. I think that is hugely important. But the question is what do you dwell upon and what do you focus on? Are you focusing on what you can't control? Because all the negative stuff is typically the stuff we can't control.
Great.
Absolutely. All the positive stuff, right? Or the vision for the future, that is what we get to control piece.
For the people tuning in, like, I think it's really, there's been some key points that Teresa's landed in, like, the discussion here, is that first is defining reality. Like, can you define reality?
Mm-hmm.
You then say, by defining reality and get everybody on the same page, you can then be authentic. Because then people know that you're defining reality, you're staying authentic to it.
Yep.
And from there, you're saying, okay, if I know what the reality is, and then I know what my goals are, I then have to be accountable to something because of what the current landscape is. And once I get to that level of reality and future accountability, because I'm in control, once we're in control of something, you can apply at that point, you have a choice to either see the future as negative, pessimistic, or like you're empowered, in which case you can have a optimistic like filter on. And I think that's like a really impactful like discussion you two just had, so people can see how you can actually get to a place where now you can put an optimistic, I am hopeful, I do have a noble cause, I do have the ability to impact my future.
Yeah. When I think when we get stuck in a negative place, usually there's some type of limiting belief around that, which again is the feeling as a victim, or that there's something we can't control. It's fear-based really at its core. And so being honest about those things and pushing and moving past them, you know, I think limiting beliefs, Mo Anderson was teaching Quantum Leap here in our region. So if you're not in the Keller Williams world, she's like the mother of culture at Keller Williams. And incredibly successful, 80 some years old, teaching on Quantum Leap. And one of the things she said, almost in passing, that I have just thought about consistently since she said it, and she said, the more successful you become, the more and bigger your limiting beliefs are. And when she first said that, I was like, well, that's really encouraging. Thanks. And the more I've thought about it, I do believe that is so true, because you are the higher you climb, the farther the fall.
Yeah.
So you're looking down going, I have more to lose. I have the financial stakes are higher. I have more people counting on me, more lives depending on me. There is a bigger things at stake as we grow in that entrepreneurial and leadership journey. And so the limiting beliefs, or we can say the negativity, internal negativity, is actually a lot of times going to be bigger. And what we hope we've done in our growth journey is get better at identifying them, replacing them, not allowing those to define us, not allowing those to hold us back. I have some new things that I'm doing, and I've told Tommy many times, he's kind of tired of hearing of it. I'm very in my head over this. I have some really limiting beliefs that I didn't know I had that are flaring up on me. And what I also know is that's because I'm putting myself in uncomfortable situations that I haven't done before. And sometimes the reason we're not encountering those limiting beliefs is we're just in such a comfortable place. We're not even having to deal with those. But when we put ourselves in a place of growth, that is going to be a part of it. But the question is then, do I have the tools and the tenacity to push past those and to move past the fear?
So you hit, you just brought it up to present day. And I'm going to bring something back to everybody that when you introduce yourself and your story, you talked about being married into a real estate family, did some mortgage, did home warranty sales, then got licensed and then got into leadership.
Yeah.
So when, can you talk to people that are like in this leadership, you know, rainmaker or brokerage leadership of, hey, you went from doing sales after home warranty to them being in charge of now 600 agents, right?
Yep.
600 plus. How do you handle the challenges? Like you just brought up about Mo Anderson, the bigger you get, the more challenges you have and all that. How do you handle your current environment with 600 people and still be able to maintain positive sense of the future to inspire those around you that while it might be hard now, there is hope on the other side?
Yeah, I think that is a daily, it's a daily commitment to renewing your mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more. What does that mean?
Yeah. How does that show up for me? I'm fundamentally a huge believer that all success happens inside to outside. I love Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's an older book, but dust it off if you're listening or if you haven't read it. But he talks about external victories are preceded by internal victories. And we do the inner work to get the outer results. We want to go from where we were at to where we want to be. It's really about who we are to who we have to become. And that's the internal work so that we're truly authentic. Because the challenge is when we don't do the inner work and we step into new levels of leadership, authority, opportunity, and we're not doing the internal work, we crumble in that a lot because we're not, our character isn't ready to sustain that. So I am just a big believer that my business and my leadership will grow as much as I choose to grow personally and in internally. And that commitment to that journey. And I think that has to be every day.
You referenced a couple things and you kind of teed this up. You said, now you were struggling and dealing with some limiting beliefs around some things that are happening. But at the same time, you're talking about now there's some internal things you need to address. So they kind of get tied together.
Yeah.
How does that structurally work out for you? Do you allow time for that? How do you provide time? Because I think if you don't, then things don't get focused.
Yep.
How do you handle that?
Yeah. So for me, it's my mornings. My morning routine is, I mean, I'm down to like a 5 minute, 5 minute variance. If I like do something longer than 5 minutes, I'm going to be late. Like I'm up at 4:40 every day. I make my coffee. I read the Bible, have some prayer. I read something else that's going to help me grow. I get to the gym. I'm turning on a podcast such as this one to learn and grow, filling my mind with that. I get home. I get ready for the day. I braid my daughter's hair. Got two sets of braids to do every morning. I'm in the car again with my coffee. There's an enormous amount of coffee though that does enable this to work at a high level. Don't get me wrong. And then we do a morning huddle for our market center every day for 15 minutes from 8:30 to 8:45. We've done that since 2020. So I believe that the model for me is I consume content. I take time to actively consume content that fills my mind with how I need to learn and grow. And then I think the next step that I think sometimes people miss is you got to turn around and teach it. And you don't necessarily have to have a big platform to do that. But when you start verbalizing it and teaching it, it holds you accountable to really internalizing it and bringing it to life. So I think that has been a huge piece of helping me grow is that you consume it and then you teach it. You consume it and then you teach it. And just slowing down for a second to reflect and to ask questions. Leaders have to have think time. You get paid for not what you do. You get paid for how you think.
Well, it prompted me as a comment. Literally, I was having a conversation this morning with somebody, and there's the idea of vast visions and just kind of wouldn't it be great type of conversations. But there's the completely opposite of that of it's okay to have, I have to have futuristic thoughts, but I have to allow myself time to digest that, think about what that looks like, and then allow me to execute to accomplish it. Right. Yeah. And also like accept, you can call them limiting beliefs, the hurdles that we intrinsically have for accomplishment. There is no road that doesn't have bumps in it, hurdles, obstacles, hills, right? It's all about how we're going to navigate them. And we have to bring ourselves to the right place, GPS, dare I mind you, to get through that.
Absolutely. There's no perfect journey.
Yep.
There's no perfect journey. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes it's two steps back, one step forward. And at the end of the day, if we're on a journey, though, where we're consistently striving to move forward, I promise the steps forward will outweigh the steps back. And that's really where it comes to, I think, to having a bigger picture thinking. So much of stress and all of that is when we get so into the minutiae or we lose perspective of how a challenge fits into the greater timeline of our career, our life, eternity, all of those things. I think that creates unrealistic expectation because you can't control that time. But it gets us grounded when we have a much bigger perspective. So that's one thing. I know when I start to get stressed or start to feel negative or start to feel hopeless or what have you, most likely I've lost my perspective, my bigger picture perspective. I'm looking too much just right in this exact moment.
Mm. I can see Joe's now currently in deep thought.
He is in deep thought.
It's fascinating because like for anybody that's in a leadership or business owner seat, it's pretty intrinsic to the fact that success comes from energy. Energy creates momentum. And how you feel derives how you act, right? So if you feel shitty, you're going to perform that same way. If you feel great, you perform great. And we didn't prep this call to be like, hey, we're just going to take it wherever it was. So I didn't know. Basically, what I'm hearing from Teresa on this one is all that positivity has everything derived from her mindset and then focus on what she can control. So it actually isn't this like bubbling energy thing. It's this internal, I trained myself, I educated myself, I consumed content, I had a vision for what I wanted, I have accountability, authentic to who I am, and everything internal is the fact that if I'm in control of it and I see my authorship and ownership around my decisions, it encompasses your energy that you see externally as positive and in control and confident. And if you have that, which I didn't even see this going that way, I was like, just like, hey, I'm just like happy go lucky person. Like, you got two options here. It's either going to go shitty or it's going to go awesome. So you might as well just go awesome. It's completely different.
I think I naturally lean that way.
Yeah.
I'm naturally an optimistic person, meaning, you know, I see somebody asking for money at the side of my natural inclination is to believe them and think whatever is on that sign is absolutely, that's just a natural, I tend to believe the best, which can be good and bad because sometimes I need to question things more. It's also very empowering to people around me when they, you know, deserve to be believed in. So again, none of it right or wrong, good or bad, but I tend to be more naturally that way. And Life is hard. Business is hard. There's a lot of challenge that comes. And so even somebody who is naturally optimistic, I don't believe you stay that way. You get jaded if you're not intentionally, right? I mean, if you're not intentionally working to protect that and to build that. So, you know, people comment on my energy a lot, and I really, it is not just an enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Right. It is very intentional. I'm actually not in the disc. I am a high I on the disc, but my sociability is actually about a 5. So I can tap out real quickly if I'm around people too long, that type of thing. So, it is not necessarily just sociability or enthusiasm or passion, right? I think it has to be deeper than that if it's going to last and if it's going to be contagious.
How have you seen, like, you're really in tune with, like, where your energy comes from, how you focus on it, how you get in control of that so you can perform at the highest level you're capable of. How have you seen those traits in yourself transfer over to the people that you work with on a daily basis? Like, how is that over the however many years you've now been in this role, like, how have you seen that transfer to your people around you?
Yeah, I think I think energy attracts. And there is a synergy then in agreement. And so, you know, the worst thing that can happen on a team is when everyone has a bad day on the same day. Everyone's going to have a bad day at some point. Let's just not all have a bad day together. You know, and that's where team comes in, right? Because you've got different strengths and all of that, and you feed off of each other. And there are times that I need somebody to question things and to have a little skepticism. That's good for me, and that helps me be better. I need to be surrounded by people that are going to say, hey, this could go wrong, and this could go wrong, and what are we going to do to prevent this? And I think what I can bring to the table as a leader is a real clear path of how we're going to think and what we're not going to sit in, right? What we're not going to stay in. Everybody has negative thoughts. Everybody has limiting beliefs. Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah.
How do we just keep it to where it's one bad day, not a week? It's a week, not a month, right? And we're moving through the stuff. And if all else fails, you turn on Chumbawamba.
Well, he's been going down that path, but okay.
If you hear Chumbawamba on our huddle in the morning, you know, okay, Teresa had a bad day and she's in a little pick-me-up.
Does Joe know that song? That's the question first and foremost.
Yes, I am the one-hit wonder. Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, just checking.
But I think what's cool to use a different way to look at it, the first thing that came to my head was, like, there's a standard that you hold your team to when it comes to their mindset. And that seems like really clinical in what I'm saying, but hey, it's like, hey, you can have a bad day, but you're not going to have a bad week. And we're going to figure out a pattern interrupt. And that's just a standard of accountability on the team, is that I'm not going to allow you, because I care enough for you being on my team, that like, I'm not going to let you have more than one bad day in a row, because that's just not okay. Right. So to close up, Teresa, what, if you were to give one thing to the people listening to take away when it comes to positive, like, vision, right, and energy on running a team, what would that be?
I think it's invest in yourself every day. Invest in the internal work in your own mindset every single day. Don't wait for a conference to happen twice a year, right, where you get reprogrammed. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but be intentional about investing in yourself, and what you need for your energy to be good. And it's not always, sometimes it's, you know, working out and eating right and getting sleep. Like, all of those things matter, to our mindset. You can't underestimate the importance of all of those things coming together, but I would just say, consistency and commitment on a daily basis to that, and surround yourself with a community of people that are like-minded and are going to push you in that way, because you just don't have to do this alone. People say leadership is lonely, and I would say if leadership is lonely, you're doing leadership the wrong way.
I love
being authentic. Go do leadership with people Be real, allow people in. There's a lot of people that can go on this journey with you. And that's really where beautiful things happen.
Go find your tribe is what I'm hearing there. And also the fact that she's saying about investing yourself, one way you can invest in yourself is give us a like and give us a follow for Entrepreneurial Impact as we drop episodes every week on how to invest in yourself. Yes. And soon enough, Teresa will also have her own podcast. So we'll promote that one as well. So if you want to invest in yourself, like she's saying, is the one thing to do for your positive leadership, listen and tune into her podcast. It'll be coming in shortly.
Be looking for The Upside with Teresa Flood coming soon.
Precisely. So, Teresa, I just want to say thank you for taking your time out of your busy week to come on this episode and pour into our listeners. I really appreciate it. I know it's an uplifting thing for me when I get on these calls with you. And I know that you're the one person that brings me a lot of joy in the fact that you check Tommy. You're one of the on a regular basis. And that brings me so much joy and positivity in my life. So I just want to say thank you for your time and joining us on Entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. This was a super fun conversation. I appreciate y'all.